Well, 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 well. Good morning, guys. Welcome to this particular Wednesday session of the Unpacking the Day. Yes, I've got coffee at hand, not coffee in me yet. However, obviously with the discussion that you just departed, or you know, guys just transitioned now from David here into your 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. drive time session. A lot of you probably would be still stuck in traffic. I saw you guys on my way here, you know. We saw each other. There's unfortunately nothing I can do to help you, but, you know, just provide you with a little bit of a distraction in terms of the conversation that we've got lined up for this morning's session. Now, we're obviously going to base most of our conversation from this morning's particular, Villager e-paper platform, and primarily that there's a good three major talking points, actually four. The fourth one technically borrows itself into the conversation of the home run that Helmut and I had yesterday, which is based upon the uranium exploration that is based here, that is planned, because it's literally in limbo. Since 2021 up until now, it's literally in limbo. And the biggest talking point that, and this is the major talking point that when we get to that topic, that fourth topic, because it's in our industrial briefs or industry briefs in today's the Villager ePaper platform. If you're not yet a subscriber, I really don't know where you've been. I mean, for the better part of 3 years, we've been promoting this particular, you know, readily accessible platform, easy to read, easy to digest primarily because it's all in digital format. All you've got to do is just send us a text message on WhatsApp that says add to the number 081-241-44. Just save the number as, you know, as the particular same particular avenue by which you'll also receive the, weekly. Well, it's not technically weekly because it comes out every Monday, every Wednesday, every Thursday. Friday. And it highlights most of the talking points that have happened during the course of a week and some other particular industrial developments in and around Namibia and also on a global scale. Now, do remember, please save the number so it doesn't look like we are spamming you just with random text messages. Do save the number. Alternatively, there is the Eagle FM, not just Eagle FM website, but also the Villager website, whereby you can go and, you know, set up your own particular profile and enjoy the reading that we also, upload there every day. So, as we're obviously looking at some of these particular talking points, that find itself in this morning's crosshair, in this morning's, I don't want to say scrutiny, but yeah, we are going to scrutinize because obviously that's what the Unpacking the Day is technically. It is a platform of scrutiny, a platform that also brings through conversation. And before I forget, remember, you can call through at 083-288-401. In terms of the contributions, the discussions, your particular perspective, I say your perspective, and possibly your opinion, because perspective and opinion are pretty close to each other because they emanate from the same person's particular mental output capability. I just didn't want to use the other term that was popping up readily in my mind. But yeah, if we look at this morning's particular conversation and as we obviously look at the developments that are coming through from this morning's the Villager ePaper platform, we're obviously seeing, the lead story primarily has one based upon technology. Well, communication technology for that matter. I mean, that there's a lot of you on TikTok, that is for sure. There's also a lot of you consuming a lot of TikTok content, that is also for sure. And that much of this is contained within a industry observation report that the Communications Regulatory Authority, CRAN, had also cited, primarily because that obviously speaks towards the consumption trend that had been analyzed. Now here's a little bit of a weird thing. 6.9 million gigs is a lot of data that you guys are spending on TikTok. Let me say it again. 6.9 million gigs is a ton, is a super lot of data that you guys are paying, or not paying, but buying to consume on TikTok. Because obviously, if you understand the business model of how it goes, you are paying money to buy data or airtime, one of the two. Because the money technically either gets converted into data or it gets converted into a sort of like a hybrid thing, like the Aware products that we all use, that gives you text messages, seconds to call, and data to do your overall internet activities in that in that line or in that order. When we obviously look at this particular industry trend that comes out, 6.9 million gigs is a lot. Is a lot. Obviously, social media platforms and the applications that are meant for handheld devices are technically the new frontier of consumer technology that, you know, is continuously being pushed. I still remember the particular announcements that Zuckerberg and who was the other guy that made the announcement at the same time? Zuckerberg and it wasn't Bezos. It was Zuckerberg and Bezos. I'm not sure if it was Musk who highlighted that the end of the mobile phone is close, or the smartphone is close at hand. I don't know what that speaks towards the behemoths in the mobile industry like Samsung, like the Chinese companies, like Apple specifically. But it is literally through their products that we are obviously consuming a lot of this. Because TikTok is not meant for using it on your PC. I'll say it again. TikTok is not meant for being browsed through your web browser. You're opening up a web browser and surfing through it. TikTok is meant to literally go through, to be facilitated through your smartphone. Now, the question from that means, does it seem that it would be that a lot more Namibians were buying SIM cards? Or does it seem that a lot more Namibians probably were leveraging or leeching? That's the other term that some IT guys taught me as well. Are leeching off of Wi-Fi hotspots. Just think about it. Is it about being connected through your SIM card, using the data through your SIM card, or using the data primarily through your Wi-Fi router, your Wi-Fi hotspot, so on and so forth? When you obviously look at these two particular trends, yes, it is contained in the article itself. Primarily that it notes here that, and this is a period of between October to December 2025, that it was observed that Namibians had consumed 6.9 million gigs of watching and posting on TikTok between October and December 2025. Now, this is based upon the quarterly statistics bulletin that the Communications Regulatory Authority obviously publishes or highlights, which provides for, you know, other particular consumer technology trends. Now, consumer technology trends, dear listeners, it's a nuanced term. I'll put it like this. It's a nuanced term because Namibia in its own right does not as yet observe overall consumption across the board. So I'm talking from anything from a liter of milk, you know, the company that makes milk, publishing how much milk was consumed in a month. No. We are producing from the producer's end, meaning how much the producer is producing or what impacts the producer, but also highlighting who is consuming what on the other end. Now, this particular report in its own right highlights a consumer perspective, meaning what application is leading the particular consumption rate. Now, I love reports like this because reports like this actually tells you, if you're a business owner out there, what you can position. This means that there's a lot more Namibians spending time on TikTok. The downside is we don't know which Namibians they are, from which age groups, ranging from what the lowest age group that possibly has access to a smartphone, to the highest age group possibly that can or does have a TikTok account. Just on the disclaimer side of things, I don't have a TikTok account, primarily because I've realized not just that, but also through the training and the, you know, the things that I've seen because of the three wars that are now ongoing, the three major wars, is that TikTok is one of the largest platforms where AI slop and AI misinformation and disinformation is being channeled through. YouTube, you can still curate what you want to watch, but TikTok has another particular downside to it, is that it also does that thing of doom scrolling. Now, doom scrolling, and this is according to Harvard Health, just to highlight this to you, doom scrolling is where you see the person just continuously scrolling. They're not watching anything, they're not reading anything, they're not doing anything, they're just scrolling endlessly. That's all the person is doing, they're just scrolling. I realize I also have the same tendency, but it's when I'm reading, they call it webtoons. Webtoons are technically comics that are designed in a specific way for internet reading, you know, reading from the internet. It's not like a Kindle, which facilitates for a digital publication or digital format or PDF format of a book. A webtoon is literally a comic book, but it looks like it's just a continuous panel. You're just scrolling up. So it facilitates a doom scrolling tendency. Now, since people, Namibians, love TikTok, Harvard Health has highlighted itself that, and this is how their own particular blog on the website starts with, what was the first thing you did when you woke up this particular morning? If you reached for your phone and started scrolling through the news, scanning headline after headline, blaring bad things, you're doing nothing, or you're doing something that's called doom scrolling, and you're definitely not alone. So that means also me. Wow. Nothing exceptional, eh? So we all do participate in a doom scrolling scenario. Yeah, I just saw now a WhatsApp from my colleague, HD, who highlighted it. Yeah, the AI videos are now being labeled on TikTok. Yeah.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Coming back through the after that ad break, guys. Just quickly I had to sort out the headphones here. But they would be labeled, but that was not the question that I highlighted. The question was specifically, do people actually observe and literally say, listen, this is AI, I shouldn't watch it? Or should I watch this particular AI production through the lens of what does it offer me? Does it offer me new information, or does it just propagate propaganda, mis- and disinformation, and so on? I mean, even, and I'll say thank you to my colleague for highlighting that particular scenario on, you know, for just sharing a little bit of a piece of of knowledge that the AI generated videos are now labeled as AI labeled, primarily because you can see that the movements are unnatural, that some of the things are natural, but even though the conversation that's currently brewing there around the Iran conflict make things a little bit weirder, because Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, as people are I am saying purportedly, or they are alleging that he is supposedly dead. I have to use a lot of maybes terms in between there, because in a specific space where you've got a war going on, there is a lot of information war taking place. And this particular information war is about whose narrative is the strongest. Now, Donald Trump is doing his thing at every particular instance of interacting with the press in the US, on Air Force One, at another particular event. Because, I mean, even yesterday, Donald Trump wanted to talk, apparently say something negative about the Prime Minister of the UK. And the Prime Minister of Ireland was like, calm, chill, my bro. Chill, just chill. Now, a basic interaction like that will have mis- and disinformation about it thrown across the internet from TikTok to YouTube. It is good that Cran highlighted. And I like such industry reports. These are wonderful. I mean, that's one of the reasons also why I go to the particular, let's say, the various particular events, for example, from NIPAM to NCRST's particular events that talk about literally developing an industry. Because they give you industry knowledge, and it's for you, the sector, to say, okay, this is what I can do from here. On the opposite end, not the actual opposite end, but let me rather say sort of like, putting that thinking parallel to the first statement I just made, is that if you find yourself out there as a business owner and you view this headline as 6.9 million gigs of data spent on TikTok content, that means you as a business owner can reach Namibians who are literally utilizing TikTok a lot more. I'll say it again. You, as a business owner, can literally reach Namibians who are watching more TikTok. Now, to me, this sounds like Namibians are watching more TikTok than they are watching TV, than they are reading newspapers. I hope that they are still listening very strongly and obviously supporting radio stations like ours, who have a unique niche. The word niche is already unique, but that still, you know, listen in that regard. Even though we've branched into the digital realm as well by incorporating an application, which is a very tiny application that you can download from the two particular platforms for your smartphone, whether it be Apple or whether it be Android. And the nice thing is there that from those two platforms, you can literally have Eagle FM on the go. It's not just about being in your car or being stuck on the farm or being at home the whole day. You can listen to us on the go, on your phone. Now, that is also a smartphone technology that has to be developed. But TikTok, which is video and audio content, which is short format videos, which get to the point, they are usually they've got something exciting, or they try to provide a shock and awe thing, you know, something severe happened, and then it hooks the viewer, and the viewer sits there doom scrolling the whole time. Because I'll get into the doom scrolling part of this discussion a little bit later, but I just had to highlight that part, that technically it's all of us. Even if you were looking at the WhatsApp conversations in the office WhatsApp group. So yeah. Now, there is further development, obviously, that spans out from this, because at the end of this morning's The Villager e-paper platform, we've got a opinion piece there about the digital policy that the MICT ministry had launched back in February. So you can also read that in conjunction with this particular article itself, because the generations, obviously, that we've highlighted, and I'm going to highlight them primarily in, you know, the easy lingo or easy language. I don't know if we still have boomers left, but I suspect we still have boomers left. I say this, boomers should now be between 60 and upwards. Those are the boomers. The close to being senior citizens are the Gen X guys. Like a lot of people I know. I'm not mentioning names. Don't want to mention names yet. And then you get the millennials, which is my age group. They would now be between 35 to 50. 15 years. Give it about a 15-year gap. And then from 35 downwards, we start getting the alpha, or no, the Gen Z, those other peoples. And yeah, and then after them, you get the alpha and the beta generations. Now, when you obviously look at that classification I just gave you, the classification means that there is, at the top end, the senior citizens, the pensioners, they are the Namibians that ultimately would not be spending their time making videos about everything else. Yeah, you get, you know, exceptional cases here and there of someone's grandfather or grandmother who decides to record how the chickens are literally walking around the backyard, or just recording for the sake of recording because they forgot to switch off the camera situation. Yeah, that happens. And then you get the other side of the situation where, unfortunately, many of the Namibians from 60 or 59 upwards, many of them are not alive anymore. Each generation was the youth. Each generation had a very strong representation in the population distribution. It's currently, as we're sitting here, it's the generation of Namibians from 40 downwards who are the most. So, reading into this particular article, the Namibians who are spending a lot of time on TikTok are the Namibians from 40 and downwards. That's the conclusion you can reach, because the NSA's census highlights that. Those are the Namibians 40 and downwards. There's a lot more of them than the Namibians from 41 upwards. And the unfortunate thing is I'm in the bracket of 41 and up. I'm technically in the minority here. But when you look at this particular trend, which is a consumer trend, and I love consumer trends, consumer trend highlights to you what is being used. It's not that, exaggerated term known as the food basket discussion, which reflects the inflation pressures on the foods that you buy or the other goods that you spend money on a lot every day. Because in that regard, with the food basket discussion from an economic perspective, they're just giving you someone just went and looked at the spreadsheet, and then the spreadsheet just highlights various things. No one went and looked at actual consumption numbers, meaning asking the retailers, so how many loaves of bread is bought every day? How many do you bake as a retailer, and how many do you buy from other businesses, from bakeries that bake bread in the country? No one goes and looks at those nuances, but they come and tell you about a food basket. And then if you do a basic exercise of going to a shop and you go and look at the price of food because you're actually going to consume the product, you would have a different understanding of a consumption trend than having to look at a food basket analysis. And a food basket analysis averages things out. It doesn't go and say, yes, the bread has increased since time immemorial of when Namibia began in 1990, when statistics and data was being collected about food basket analysis and inflationary pressures, how this loaf of bread and its price dynamics have, what were the trends from 1991 up until 2026. You don't hear that. You don't see that in Namibia. It's also in the same vein, primarily, when you read the article, how the industry trend analysis provided by CRAN just paints it to you in a basic consumption trend, but it doesn't tell you who the Namibians are. I had to tell you who the Namibians are because TikTok is, in many cases, meant for people of a youthful disposition, so from 39 or 40 downwards. Facebook is unfortunately still being maintained by my peers, us, the millennials, and upwards. Because we're comfortable with that platform. Plus, that platform has obviously multiple particular uses. I know it's a different communication medium in opposition to radio, because in its own right specifically, you've got to view this as the discussion of digital capital. Now I'm gonna expand into another talking point about this conversation. It's gonna get a little bit economic here. But we've done that for the past 4 or 5 years as well, having these economic discussions, because these economic discussions are aimed at bringing to you what these trends actually try to develop or try to look at. So if you go look at many of the people who have developed an application for a smartphone, they all have one thing in common. They are someone that has either studied or has worked at a technology-based company, or they come from the information engineering side of the technology space in, you know, the world of industry development. It's one of the particular reasons also why the various particular UN agencies, which Namibia loves to lord. I mean, Namibia loves waiting on the UN to decide for Namibia to do something before Namibia decides to say, hey, let's put up a data protection policy or data protection legislation. Or let's go put up a cybersecurity legislation, and then we just amend things so that it forms in line specifically with the UN convention that for 2 years we were having discussions in, and no one from the Ministry of ICT was told us that they were attending these conversations. I had to find out this year. But be that as it may, it's obviously what happens, you know, with the particular, you know, officials in ministries. They don't tell you something and then poof, you know, like magic. You have to now see, oh my goodness, what's this? Oh my goodness, it's an industry development. Yeah, but where does it come from? Oh, we've been working on it for 2 years. And you didn't tell anyone? You didn't tell anyone? When you look at this particular story, regarding now the technology development and who are the pioneers in this realm specifically for industrial development, because it's viewed as an industry. Yanis Varoufakis, in his last two books, I have not seen the last book that came out last year or the year before, but I bought a book that is literally two books away from the last book. The last book came out like last year or the year before, 2024 or 2025. And this book that I bought was literally 2021, 2022. But I've watched most of his lectures and I've watched most of his interviews, primarily about where the world is going to and why we need to be sort of like aware of what the tech, they call them the tech bros, but we're talking about obviously they're also known as the almost said the Fabulous Five, but it's like the technology companies in the US. So it's Alphabet, which owns Google, Meta, which owns the Facebook cluster of companies or products, Amazon, Tesla, and Microsoft. Those five companies, which are all obviously behind the developments in AI and the likes. The major talking points that comes through from the Meta, the Google, and the Amazon and Microsoft talking points is literally that in many cases, they need us. Let me say it again. They need the ordinary consumer to run their business model on. Just think about it, what I'm saying to you. Now, Varoufakis calls this techno-feudalism, meaning how you need to understand the industrial waves, the industrial revolutions, how they happened. Europe had to move from feudalism into a market system, and now with the technology space, we're moving back into a feudalism scenario again. That's his hypothesis that he's laying forward. And so far, his hypothesis has been spot on. His hypothesis has been spot on. In the realm specifically that when you look at how these technology companies, these fabulous five that I mentioned, how they go around functioning in the market, in the sense that there's technically no competition. Microsoft does have competition, but many people that use computers are not sure about Linux. I can tell you the benefits of Linux, but I don't use Linux at home because much of my application extensions, much of my work, much of my interactions regarding work has to use and go through Microsoft, which then empowers and allows much of the hardware in my computer at home to utilize Microsoft fully. Even though Linux, from when they upgraded Linux back in 2009, where they brought out the Ubuntu version and which is the smaller version of the bigger version, that they also promoted at the same time. Even though Linux runs on half of the storage capacity of your computer, I am talking specifically of computers. I'm not talking about your smartphone. The unfortunate thing regarding that development has been that if you go and buy a computer, which is a laptop or which is a freestanding desktop computer, it will be preloaded with Microsoft, whether it be Microsoft Home or Microsoft Business or Microsoft Student. It'll be loaded with Microsoft, with a Windows operating system. Now, Linux is an operating system. Windows is an operating system. Linux has been championing since the 1980s. That specifically, many of these technology guys have this altruistic position that, you know, try to make technology open to everyone. But the only guys that do this are the Europeans. The Americans don't believe in making something for free. They don't believe it. I'm also giving a little bit of a look-see into the different ideologies that exist. Because Linux, if you go look up of where Linux came from, Linux was developed, I think, by a Norwegian or a Swede, one of the two. He was the founder. He was the major engineer. He was the major tech guy behind everything. There's a weird meme that also exists that the guy that wrote Meta's code is not Mark Zuckerberg, which I've also highlighted. If you've watched the movie Social Media, no? Yeah, if you watch the movie Social Media, that tells the story of Meta. Mark Zuckerberg in that story, who's played by Jesse Eisenberg, he literally steals the idea from the Winklevoss twins, who had the very first idea regarding a social media platform. And before Facebook, there was MySpace. MySpace was the first sort of like known social media platform. And from the Winklevoss twins, while Zuckerberg was obviously studying because he'd never completed his degree that he was doing there at that university, another guy, and if you ever go look up the names of Facebook, the founders of Facebook, there's three names that are given there. One is Zuckerberg and there are other two guys. Those other two guys were sort of like you know, it's the same thing that you see happening here in Namibia. One guy stealing another guy's business idea and then goes and touts it up as his or her business idea. And then, you know, people lose friendships and, you know, you've got those various things happening. But that's what humans are doing. And unfortunately, I'm not condoning how people, you know, the negative social interactions that people have. The unfortunate thing is this happens. It's part of life. You can't invest emotions into it because that's what people do. They steal business ideas from each other. The best way to protect yourself is to put it on paper. If you have it on paper first, you can sue the heck out of that person who's going to make money from that thing. You can sue it into kingdom come, and you can be an instantaneous millionaire without having to lift a finger. I'm giving you free advice here, guys. If you want the laziest way of making money, sue someone who stole your business idea. As long as you had it on paper first, before it was stolen. Have it on paper first, because you can show, you can prove, you put it on paper. It's a wonderful defense. And Namibia signs up to that convention, don't worry. Now, because Yanis Varoufakis is highlighting, obviously, that techno-feudalism is currently happening, and techno-feudalism is the biggest problem. The mention that I made about the prevalence of AI content and AI mis and disinformation, even though, yes, HD, yes, thank you for sharing that, you know, there is a label on TikTok. I can't be on every particular social media site. It's a bit impossible. In some cases, you realize one is not, you know, doesn't meet your particular taste because it's all about curating, you know, what access you have. And there is someone that I've also met who tries to keep her digital footprint as tiny as possible. You won't find her on social media. But if you Google search her name properly, you would find her in various particular academic works, which is wonderful because that's a positive versus being known, like Helmut has explained, that you discover as a parent that your daughter has got multiple social media accounts. And on the one is the one that you follow her on, that she's wearing her, you know, Sunday best dress and attire. And on another account, you know, things are happening there, which I'm not going to expand into. I'm glad I'm not someone that sees these things, and I'm just reciting what someone else has shared. So, that's ultimately what's happening on the social media spaces as well. Now, just what I showed here to you, someone having two social media accounts on the same platform should highlight to you primarily that this person is investing more social capital into a social media platform that they got for free, preloaded onto their phone. And you know what's the best thing that Zuckerberg is doing in Silicon Valley? He sees, okay, there's more accounts. This means there are more users. This means my audience is growing. This means I can turn to my advertisers and tell them, hey, listen, you can buy advertising space on Instagram, on Facebook. What's the other one that they developed? Threads. On Threads, there's another one that they also bought. Was it Snapchat? Yeah, Snapchat. Come through, place your advertising. That's how Zuckerberg makes money. That's literally the template that we at Eagle FM, conventional media, have. We have the audience. We have our content. You, the advertiser, show up and position your paid-for message here. It's literally the same template. There's no rocket science. The rocket science is just a scenario of how do you design, meaning user interface, and backward design, you know, or back-end design, what the developers are doing in the background so that you don't see the bare bones or the skeleton of the technology, the code, meaning the code, the back-end design. That's all you need. And then servers. And then a marketing strategy. That's it. Social capital developed. Which brings us to the same particular scenario. And I know there'll be a few of you Namibians that'll come and ask me now. So why has no Namibian developed a social media site yet? I don't know. I really don't know, guys. Because if we're spending 6.9 million gigabyte on TikTok, that means there's social capital. Let me say it again. That means there is social capital. And remember, it's something for free. It's for free. It's for free. If you guys remember back to the conversation regarding the smartphones that we had on the home run in last year, where we were looking at, so why can't Africans make a smartphone? Why is there a Chinese company that the Chinese consumers don't even know that this company exists, but this company developed a smartphone for us Africans? For us Africans to have access to a slightly cheaper or slightly affordable, which is the same word, same phrase, same explanation, slightly cheaper, slightly affordable handheld device or handset to get into the digital economies around the world, to participate in the digital economies around the world. Guys, if I work from the indicator of what 1 gig costs for me, from my service provider at home, I'm not going to use MTC's template, just to let you know, because there are two methods of pricing that exist. And I've shown that particular thinking already. I've illustrated it. I'm using a standardized version. A standardized version, which is a $15 price tag that I pay per 1 gig from my service provider at home. 15 Namibian dollars. The funny thing is that if you take that price per 1 gig, 6.9 million is a hefty, hefty number. This means if you are spending on that same price tag, which is the lowest price tag per gig that I know of, we still don't have a average. What is the average price? Because that article doesn't highlight an average price. So Cran didn't go and measure a price per gig. Cran highlighted that there are certain particular amounts of money spent, but Cran doesn't answer the question, how much does a gig cost? I'm showing to you how much a gig costs from my pocket, my perspective, my consumption trend. If you use the price tag that I gave you, $15 Namibian dollars a gig, it's 103.5 million Namibian dollars that Namibians spent. But that's if they work through this one service provider. What are the Namibians spending through the other two service providers? Or the other service, because there are now smaller service providers popping up as well. What are Namibians spending through them? In that article, specifically, it highlights that SIM cards or SIM card registrations have sort of like plateaued. Plateaued meaning they didn't change. It didn't increase by much. Registrations and the likes. Which is obviously not the biggest indicator, because Cran tries to answer the question, are people going through their SIM cards or are people going through, well, okay, my router at home, my internet router at home, has a SIM card in it. So it's also a SIM card registration. So it's two SIM cards that I'm sitting with. I'm sitting with a SIM card in my phone and a SIM card in my router. Huh, that makes things a little bit weird. Because if you think about the registration process primarily, then this is purely driven by SIM cards. Let me say that again. If you think about the registration process we had to go through 2 years back, this is primarily driven by SIM cards. Because there's a SIM card in my router at home, my Wi-Fi router. Not a dongle. It's not a dongle. A dongle is that stick, that internet stick that you sometimes get and that you plug in into your USB port in your computer at home. It's not a dongle, which also has a SIM card in it. And that particular device, its proximity, you know, for how far you can pick up the internet signal or the Wi-Fi signal, is slightly smaller than a router. Because a router, slightly a little bit more powerful. In some cases, you'll see people, if they've got, you know, like big properties or like they're on the farm or stuff like that, they try to put up a, what do you call it, signal boosters. This can be another internet router that just sort of like relays the signal and makes it a little bit more powerful. Or it could just be purely another particular, you know, particular device that just amplifies the signal a little bit better. Now, a key thing, still getting back to the subject matter of sorry guys, I have to put my phone away because people are popping off with text messages. You sometimes see a discussion of the digital capital or the, you know, the social capital. Okay, social capital is actually something else. Sorry, I'm now remembering. It's actually something else, but it's a digital capital realm that we're looking at because it's something given away for free. Putting content online, interacting with other people, developing a social network on a digital platform develops this sort of like commodity, which is purely based upon an audience, which is people, which many people in the media landscape don't know of. You are generating a commodity, and a commodity is audience. And audience qualifies the potential for investment, meaning advertisers. You won't see this particular level of discussion or thinking coming through from the various media students or media people that you sometimes meet. Because I sometimes also try to have these conversations with various people across the country from every day, from most walks of life. Obviously, you can't broach certain conversations with some people and with certain conversations with other people, because in similar scenarios, it's a question of what you try to find the common ground. What can we talk about? Now, when you look at the social capital, Namibia is actively giving away social capital in a way to TikTok. And TikTok is broken up into two now. So it's TikTok to China and TikTok to the US, to Instagram, which is part of the Meta umbrella of products. There are people who have Snapchat. There are people who have Facebook still with their Facebook accounts. There are people on X. So we keep giving away. We keep giving away with X. Elon Musk brought out that $5, $10 charge to verify an account to get a blue tick. Just a blue tick. I'm paying for a blue tick. It's also social capital given away for free. If you guys didn't know, the Chinese have their own. They've got two big ones. The one is WeChat, and the other one is you will read it as QQ, but it's actually Chi Chi. The pronunciation, if it's QQ, it's Chi Chi, or Cha Cha. Whichever the one, because I've never heard anyone pronounce it, but I've seen the name of the platform. And in both scenarios, these particular technology platforms have got various functions to it. These technology platforms allow you to make payments. Yes. Samsung has Samsung Pay. Samsung Pay was brought to South Africa in, was it 2010, 2011? WeChat launched in South Africa before WhatsApp, 2010, 2011, thereabout. Both of them brought a pay by your cell phone or pay by your mobile phone function. Guys, I'm showing you fintech opportunities that you don't need to go to a Namfisa event for to go and look at what's the new latest trends in fintech. No. You don't need to go to a Bank of Namibia discussion about fintech. No. You don't need even to go to a MICT discussion about fintech. No, you can watch a YouTube video. Why must you go so far about the developments in fintech? I mean, okay, one of the best presentations I ever saw was at the Namfisa sandbox event about fintech technologies that happened in 2024, where they brought the guys, the Kenyan regulators, which are similar to Namfisa, and the regulators from Kenya said, they didn't understand what M-Pesa was doing. To them, they thought M-Pesa was trying to operate like a bank outside of the realm of a bank, and the banks in Kenya were complaining about M-Pesa. And the banks in Kenya were saying, hey, listen, these guys are distributing money. And I'm not saying distributing money like in you're giving money away. No. What the business model of M-Pesa is literally, what is the most accessible technology to Kenyans? And it was, some of you call it the Katoch. I call it the Tamagotchi because of my millennial influences since the 1990s. There was literally a digital toy that the Japanese developed known as the Tamagotchi. The Tamagotchi was a digital pet you had. And you had to feed the pet and you had to look after the pet and give the pet attention and all that kind of stuff that you do with a real pet. It was a toy. It was a literal toy that you could buy in the shops. And then, obviously, you know, with the development of the mobile phones, this all-weather smart cell phone that Nokia developed that had the torch at the top was obviously a novel idea because this meant you could, you know, you could bushwhack in the middle of anywhere. You could be in a cave anywhere you find yourself. You could even be a backyard mechanic, and you'll still have a torch with you, which is your communication device as well. That's why people have the different names that they call it across the country. So when you look at that smartphone itself, that phone itself, it's not even a smartphone, that cell phone itself, it's just a cell phone. That cell phone, according to the Kenyans, was the most broadly used mobile phone across the country in Kenya. There were fewer ATMs than there were cell phones. There was a lot more crime associated to the ATMs than with cell phones. You see, you identify a social issue. A social issue, which the Kenyan police didn't bother trying to solve. Make banking safe. The banks didn't care in Kenya. And then the regulator explained, when M-Pesa's guys popped up, M-Pesa's guys said, this is going to be payments by cell phone. Mobile paying solutions. Let me say it again. Mobile paying solutions. They were championing payment, movement of money, better than the banks, the commercial banks of Kenya. In Namibia, it's the reverse. It's the commercial banks championing movement of money better than technology developers. I'll say this again. In Namibia, it's the reverse. It does not say if you're someone sitting out there with a wonderful idea listening right now to Unpacking the Day here on Eagle FM on this lovely Wednesday morning, does not say that there is no opportunity in the market for you and your idea. There is. You'll just have to think a little bit more cleverer. Just a little bit more cleverer. I mean, the question is still straightforward. Why don't we have a Namibian social media site? And the weirdest thing is, even if you try to make it Namibian, please don't try to make it tribal. Please, guys. Please. Please, 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 please. Namibia does not have one identity. Please. Please, 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 please. It's the first, how do you call it, hurdle that you'll experience. Because we're a heterogeneous society. We are not a homogenous society. We are not a European country. In regulation, yes, things must be homogenous. You must not have a rule for that person and a rule for this person. That would just sow inequality and it will just sow unfairness in society. And it'll create a lot of problems across the country. But what you must do, what we have to do, is look at ourselves. What can we do? So for all those internet graduates, oh no, okay, not internet graduates, that's a little bit wrong. I almost now sounded like the famous statement that the lawyer Sisa Namanje said about WhatsApp qualified lawyers. Probably I would put myself in there as well. But you know, but if you had to look at the discussion about the graduates we are developing and the ideas that we hope we get. And I'm not even going to subscribe anything to NDB6 because NDB6 is trying to do its thing because it's a strategy for the government. It's not a strategy for Dwight. It's not a strategy for Joe and Jane there on the pavement. It's not a strategy for you. It's a strategy for the government. It's the government's strategy of how they will try to invest in Namibia. You, Joe, Jane, and Dwight, you come up with your own thing. You develop your product. You develop your business concept. You develop your vision and mission statement for what you want to do and what you want to achieve. And we're not talking about a get-rich-quick scheme. We're also not talking about scamming people. We're also not talking about any other financial crime that you could be liable to. We're not talking about that. Oh, then there is a lot of that currently happening. There is a ton happening. And it's happening all on Facebook. Yeah, I had to, you know, you obviously have to identify where most of the particular hardship is coming from. In many cases, it's happening on Facebook a lot. It's happening. People are being scammed through social media sites. People are unfortunately being, you know, they're not getting actual customer satisfaction in one way or another from people who act like businesses, who try to run businesses through social media sites, also through social media, and they scam people, unfortunately. There's nothing I can do, guys. And if you have been a victim of such a particular occurrence, I'm really sorry. But it's another verification. It's another guardrail. It's another sort of like you were supposed to know scenario that you unfortunately are experiencing. Meaning you should have known better. You should have interacted. You should have highlighted that there is a problematic scenario with this particular enterprise that's operating purely just on social media. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with running your business through social media, because social media has been proven to be one of the most effective strategies versus having a freestanding alone website. And you now have to promote the website. You now have to have a different marketing strategy here and a different marketing strategy over there and a different marketing strategy over there. But with social media, it technically helps you consolidate things in terms of that communication strategy. It consolidates things for you. You don't have this fragmented communication strategy. But the large corporations have a fragmented communication strategy. They've got an internal one for the internal population, meaning in the organization, and an external one that is based upon a fusion of what the marketing department has to do and what the communications department has to do. The communications department one is the more political one in a company. For some reason in Namibia, I don't know, we lump the communication and the marketing together. But marketing is more superior than communication. I've never understood it. In Namibia, it's the first thing I've seen in my life. Communication and marketing is one person. And then that person is a PRO. And then that person doesn't want to pay for advertising. But that person wants free exposure. Vaatse goed is die. Where have you heard of such daylight robbery? Yes, and I'll call it daylight robbery because that's what's happening in Namibia. The comms person wants to come and have a marketing strategy, but they're trying to have a discussion of you rub my back, I rub your back situations, which is not sound business principles. I'm unfortunately a stickler for rules, guys. I know. I'm a stickler for rules. I know this. That's how many of us also grew up. That's why you have a lot of people that are church-going people, which probably also has a little, you know, a little bit of insight in terms of the mental well-being of Namibian societies. But we'll leave that conversation. That's something completely different. I have to move on now from the TikTok talk and the technology talk associated to the talk of the talk. Because the key thing here is that we, you know, we'll quickly go for a short break, but after the break, we'll get into our second conversation, which is the two articles I actually wrote. The one about the circular economy, which I'm slightly excited about, but this was something probably that would have been better promoted instead of Namibia's green hydrogen strategy, because both of them obviously try to speak to the same thing, but you know, the one is more plausible than the other one. And when I say plausible, I'm talking about the one where all Namibians can participate in versus what we've observed so far. On that note, guys, we'll be back right after this.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
So we come back. There's a lot you can expand from just from that 6.9 million gigs of consumption that Namibians were enjoying, obviously, with regards to their TikTok content and how they look at or what they spend their time on, specifically on their handheld devices. But the crucial thing is literally, consumption analysis is wonderful because we obviously have to deal with a lot of consumption talking points and developments that emanate from a lot of particular things a lot of things primarily based upon human activity and what we ultimately do. So yeah, just another sort of like short shout out once again to my colleague HD for helping me with the AI labeling. It's a good thing to highlight that is that sort of like, they call it not verification, but a moderation tool now exists on many social media platforms because I know in China, they have a particular problem with influencers, hence that they brought in last year that influencers should prove that they've got qualifications in the subject matter that they are broaching or that they are presenting to audiences, which is a little bit of a harsh position. But when you put in the back of your mind, the opportunity for scamming and the opportunity for misinformation, the opportunity for disinformation to take place, it sounds a plausible avenue. And also the developments from Australia to the UK and some parts of Europe where they've put in the guardrails regarding age limits, meaning you must be someone of this age to be able to have a social media account. Not a smartphone, a social media account. So this means now that the social media companies now have to build a different template for Australia, that if you sign up, you must prove that you are of a specific age. Those are some of the particular good developments that, I've seen. In many cases, you'll have some of the freedom of speech or the freedom of expression guys popping up and saying, yeah, why are you taking away freedom of expression? All that kind of stuff. And in many cases, they mold and then they flow into each other in many scenarios. Well, enough on the TikTok talking. Moving on to our next particular talking point, which is not the local production of parsley. It's a lovely development, but when you also look at the discussion of parsley itself, I mean, it's like, how many of us eat parsley? Be honest. Just be honest. Go to a sudden think to yourself, how many of us eat parsley? Because most of the parsley you do eat is parsley that you buy from the South African company Robertson's or the other South African company Heinz. So, yeah. No, you can still buy it fresh. Don't worry. You can still buy it fresh. But when we obviously look at the talking point that came out on the third article in today's the e-paper, this one is about the headline. Threw me off a little bit because that's not actually the headline that I wrote down. But yeah, kudos to the editorial team that we've got in terms of them developing something from what I wrote. In terms of headline, it's titled "The Treasury Team Lauded for Maneuvering Budget Trilemma." The maneuverability stems from the analysis that Robin Sherborne, he is the senior economist for the IPPR. I did not know that he was one of the founders when the organization was started, but I also now got to know that. And some of the analysis that he highlighted was, for example, what we will be looking at happening or that was announced in the budget and the budget announcement of last month, which literally happened on the 26th of February. And he highlights there primarily that there are a few notable developments. Now, I'll mention one notable development, which I did not pay much attention to in the entirety that I've observed national budget discussions in Namibia. And this is a big, big, big conversation point. So big, we all missed it. I'll be honest. We all missed it. This is not about putting fault where, because in many cases we were trying to understand what is the real budget that the auntie announced. I'm sorry for calling the minister, Erika Shafuda, an auntie, but she is slightly senior than me, so it's, slightly an aspect of, endearment. Nothing derogatory. We all have aunts, but I have enough family, not smuggling new family. But what did she present? So we know that we were all looking for a total. And the total was between 104 billion to 105 billion. So which is the actual one? For now, ignore that discussion. Ignore that subject matter. That's in the past. We've satisfied that engagement. We've satisfied the discourse surrounding what has been allocated. Because currently right now, and it began yesterday and began last week, in the National Assembly, is that now it's for the MPs to highlight their objections, their concerns, and to submit those statements in the National Assembly regarding what the minister announced on 26 February. Now, this analysis has something in that we all missed. State-owned entities are going to go and fend for themselves. I'll mention it again. State-owned entities are going to go and fend for themselves. Now, this primarily means, now I put it under the, when I wrote the article, I put it under the other highlights section of the article. But it highlights here, on the, well, I've got to quickly find that particular sentence. Yeah, so this particular paragraph highlights a notable change pointed out by Robin Sherborne was that the valuable support from government to state enterprises will be done away with as they will be encouraged to raise their own financing. Now, you can obviously debate with me whether the headline having the word maneuvering in it resonates with that one specific paragraph in the article. We can debate the semantics. I'll still defend the headline for now. I'll still defend it because it does sound like maneuvering, but it also sounds like poker being played. So if you understand Texas Hold'em poker, not the conventional poker that Texas Hold'em poker emanates from, poker itself is a bluffing game. You're not, yes, the template is there, the strategy is there, have the best cards. Just like in dominoes, have the best cards. So that if, okay, let me stay on the dominoes reference. So that if and when the, you know, the opponents that you're playing against, because sometimes you can play as teams and sometimes you can play as, you know, individual players with dominoes, so that if the various strategies that the other player implements, for example, the box, for example, the counting, there's another one that sounds that similar to the box, but you can literally, there's literally a strategy where everyone, there's, that you can box everyone in, no one can play past a certain point. There is a strategy like that in dominoes. So when you view it that way, I'm actually viewing that the minister was playing dominoes. And she was playing dominoes with her other counterparts, specifically the state-owned entities. That the state-owned entities now have to prove themselves in Namibia's economic landscape. Let's get the first caller coming through. Eagle FM, good morning.
Yes, Dwight.
How are you doing, Angabona?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right.
That's why, like, when you are there alone, you are not polluted. Negatively polluted. And I heard your friend say yesterday that, yes, our program, you know, stingy and things like that. So I believe he realized that, yes, it's really stingy. Very conservative.
Well,
you know, we ask you if you are going back to those years. You know, the years, even though you are still in the revenue, but before that, the situation was terrible.
So it was critical.
Very critical.
Critical but stable.
So, the reason why I did not come early and I knew you were going to accommodate me is because the topic that you are having is a bit...
Angabana, are you part of the generation that doesn't use TikTok? I also don't use, don't worry, I also don't use TikTok. Because I already have three of the other five social media sites. I can't be on every social. No, I've actually got four. I've got an X account, I've got an Instagram account, a Facebook, and a WhatsApp account. Those are four social media sites.
Imagine now you are even on the Telegram or whatever those ones.
Yeah.
No, on the TikTok.
Mm.
So when people are trying and they're hearing this one, and it's only second, people are just browsing. Second. I say, what do they really learn from those things? Is it just funny kind of games or what is happening?
Mm.
So I'm also not knowledgeable on that thing or not inclined to get into that. But I prefer more information coming from you people, Igor FM. I think they contribute to my building of knowledge and understanding.
Mm.
So that's what I prefer. And I believe it helps me a lot.
Mm.
They are helping me a lot. So on the those things that you are talking about, digitally and all these other things, whether it's CRAN and all these other things that are coming in, we appreciate.
Mm.
But the other issue is that I just want to see if there is a vision to really get down to our children.
Mm.
To have those digital packages and also create some content, local content. And I've heard that some years back, some of those children, the comics and things that we see, they have designed them, they have developed them.
Mm.
And they are making millions and millions of dollars into their coffers, into their pocket or government pocket or whoever.
Mm.
But now, if we now provide those digital packages, computers or whatever, so do you think our children will not get the modern knowledge of technology that the other countries are emphasizing and they are providing to their children? Do we still need to wait for them to transit from there when they come to university or colleges or wherever now, for secondary education? This is another problem.
Angabona, it's based upon the whether or not we have a society that reads. Okay, I know it's a little bit of an abstract term that I'm saying, or a phrase that I'm using, the reading component of things. Because in many cases, when you view what is produced on social media versus the knowledge that is shared on social media, it's easy for someone to go and use an AI tool to, let's say, for example, develop something from their imagination. That's now if they have a paid-for subscription, because I know the AI tools are now, the generative AI tools are now putting on, they say, okay, you can get a free account, but your first 10 free uses of the tool is for free. After that, you have to pay an amount for this AI tool after that. Now, when you look at that particular scenario, because I decided to use the, when I did my AI training last year, at the start of the year, for like 3 months, I decided to just stick with the Google AIs, because Google has like 2 or 3 AIs, and it's easy because my whole particular digital footprint is technically Google associated. When you look at the technologies that are used, Angabona, they are easy to be used. They are straightforward stuff. The conversation comes from what do you do with the technology? Are you gonna make jokes or try to create misinformation about subject matter in Namibia? Or are you going to do something impactful? Are you going to do something productive? And in many cases, people are now, like for example in my realm of journalism, some of the journalists are now being caught on their social media posts that they put up for their companies or in their articles, in their newspapers, where they put the whole thing into an AI platform. And then the last sentence, there's like 2 sentences at the bottom. It shows the prompt. The prompt is the command that you put into the AI system to literally help you with your task. It shows the prompt. So now your company suffers national humiliation because you didn't do the basic fact checking or the basic editorial checking of ensuring that your copy is clean. They use this language in media. Make sure your copy is clean. It's free from any mistakes. It's free from typographical errors, and it's free from grammatical errors and the stuff. And then it goes through. There's a process. So now it's easy to use the tech. It's not easy to work in a system. So to work in a system, Angabwana, means you've got to understand standard operating procedures. You've got to understand the rules and procedures of a company or organization. They can be adjusted to fit into the AI side of things. To understand how and under what context do you use AI. Are you going to go and commit a crime, or are you going to go and literally share knowledge that people want to use? Which is just,
I remember
variations.
I remember at one point they were focusing also when they were talking about AI and all this budget that you are talking about. They were also focusing on the ethical consideration. Now that includes now the rules and the regulations and all these other important values, cardinal values, to help us not to go against the organizational principles. So, but if people are doing that, and now that you have come and you have learned those things, so it actually tantamounts to destruction. So you might do that maybe without knowing, because your interest is just to process and things like that. But if you are not careful, if you are not careful by using those devices, it might lead to problem. So I think the ethics and other issues need to be considered seriously. And also be emphasized so that people are aware. Sometimes people might not be aware. Those who are aware, they might do it to their own detriment. So I think the organization or media house or whatever, they must really consider those ethical principles. So for us to be on the safe side. But if they are to come and then incorporate them or introduce them into the school curriculums, I don't know which level they will begin with. It is a good thing to be appreciated. But for us now to just be on like here, and then we don't even know, our children don't know the future of digital information or revolution or technology, either revolution or whatever you call them. I have no really knowledge on those things, but I know when you are talking, I can connect some piece and piece there and make sense out of them. But ethics is more important. I think that's my side. And let's see, those who are regulating those things, the clan and things like that, let's also not put them under pressure so that they can do their work better. They can also protect us who are more vulnerable on those devices. I heard 2 days ago, cyber attack has been recorded, and if it is the response is effective, let's be on the secure side. Thank you very much, Dwight. We keep on talking about the conservatives and all those ones who are trying to mess and just keep information to themselves and thinking that, yes, these are just people who just want to hear. Of course, we want to hear. But we also want to learn and interact. Maybe we have got some questions and issues to raise, but education is more, should be more interactive, isn't it?
No, so it's 100%. Much. Thanks a lot, Angabwana.
Cool.
One of the key things, obviously, that you just need to make a takeaway from that specific interaction, dear listeners, is that there are very branch outs that you can extract literally from that small interaction right there. But nonetheless, just to let you know, we're about almost three or four minutes out from the next ad break. And I'll just quickly expand on the particular talking point that emanates from the article regarding the budget analysis brought forward by the economist Robin Sherbourne in today's The Village e paper platform, highlighting primarily that, and I'm focusing just on that one paragraph, the discussion or the development or the strategy now that the state-owned enterprises now have to go and do their thing, play their part in the broader Namibian economy. We don't know as yet specifically, you know, whether the budget allocations that were obviously given to Ministry of Finance, or that Ministry of Finance will get, and that Ministry of who's and all the other ministries that have an SOE aligned under them, because remember the SOEs have technically two bosses. There's the public enterprises part of Ministry of Finance, so that means the SOEs have to report to MOF / PE, ne? And then they have their line ministry under them. So CRAN would be under MICT with Ministry of Finance. NWR under Ministry of Environment and Ministry of Finance. Now, in that specific indication, obviously, if you guys remember, we tried to understand in previous analogies and analysis of Namibia's budget allocation prior to this year's, this financial year's announcement, or this new financial year's announcement, because the new financial year actually kicks off in April, not in March, is, you know, what allocation from each of the ministries that have a line, that have an SOE under it, even though that SOE also has to report to Ministry of Finance, what allocation is there for that ministry to subsidize something in the SOE? Now, the subsidization, dear listeners, in the discussion, and this is not under neoliberal economics, is this is a subsidization discussion. This is the government operating in the economy. There's one or two economists in Namibia that have made the same particular assertion, and I have observed, and unfortunately, the evidence is very strong, saying that the government operates in the economy a lot. Everyone is saying this. Now, when you say this, when you make this particular statement, you've got to look at who is doing what. Okay? Let's point to one of the key indicators. For example, local procurement around road construction, or procurement around road construction. Let me say it that way. Procurement around road construction. The thinking is that we're supposed to have these two companies or these... Yeah, the two companies, Roads Contractor and Roads Authority, being the, you know, the companies that have to develop Namibia's road infrastructure. But there's always procurement that takes place below them in terms of that there's a service provider, meaning another company, positioned there. Or, if you go look at, for example, in the realm of, what else is there? Well, before we continue, we actually got a small ad break jumping up on me right here.
Oh, I have a business idea, but I need help to get it started.
My dear, I have the perfect solution for you. Look no further than the Basecamp Business Incubator.
Basecamp Business Incubator? What's that?
The Basecamp Business Incubator is a startup incubator and innovation hub on a mission to educate, equip, and empower visionary entrepreneurs. Tune into the business and economics segment every Monday live on Eagle FM from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to hear about the testimonies from the young entrepreneurs that have walked through the hallways of the Basecamp Business Incubator. Visit www.basecamphub.com for more information and start your business journey now.
Coming back from the quick break right there, we are heading into the last quarter of this morning's session of the Unpacking the Day here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. If you're listening to us on conventional radio, you can find us across the country. There is a little bit of a graphic that we've got on our socials and even in the Village ePaper platform that highlights all our signals. And if you're someone that is more inclined with technology, there is an Eagle FM application that you can download for free from either the Apple digital platform or the Google Play Store. It's a very small download and you can listen to us on the go wherever you find yourself. Primarily, you can also access us through our website. We do stream through our website. It's technically a lovely particular if I can call it sort of like a dimension to have. And that ultimately also gets you up to date with all the particular conversations that we've also had on our website, which also has our library, our podcast library of various conversations, shows, discussions over the past 6-7 years of Yugile FM's existence. You can have a listen and look it up. Now, I was still on the point specifically of the SOEs, which now technically would have to fend for themselves, which is a good thing. Which is a good thing. However, the understanding of the SOEs today in the modern concept today is that primarily they would still be operating from a discussion of that they've already got everything sorted from themselves. They didn't have any growing pains. They had been subsidized for so long. And now they actually need to go and borrow their own money, and they need to go and implement their own money or revenue generating strategies in order to become self-sustainable. Now, I don't know if this potentially would lead to either one of the two things happening, meaning there would be a review of the salary structures in the SOEs so as to find cost-cutting measures or to implement cost-cutting measures. And that's ultimately if the because the accusation had always been there that many of the CEOs in the SOEs of Namibia were politically appointed, whether these SOEs will now obviously have to prove their mettle, prove their steel, prove their worth, prove their business acumen and strategy, and whether or not, you know, they will be said, hey, listen, brah, we see you outside the door, because literally you are not doing what you are tasked with doing, ultimately finding a competitive advantage in the Namibian economy, developing parts of the Namibian economy that you're responsible for. Now, when you look at the discussion just like that, as I just described it to you, when you look at it like just like I described it to you, this is obviously a speculation. This is obviously not a discussion of this has happened. Okay, besides the point that the minister literally announced it, that's the actual fact. The part about, you know, will they do restructuring? Will they start looking at, you know, how they will be managing their financial resources? That particular discussion is the speculative part that I'm highlighting there. So that is the part that you've got to look at in terms of how businesses run themselves, what potentially could happen. I got a little bit of an insight in terms of the NASFAF absorption into the Ministry of Education. That particular indication is from the discussion that happened last week, is that it does not seem that the NASFAF staff or the people that work for NASFAF, all the people at NASFAF, will be losing their jobs. No. The minister even said it in a statement that she issued a little bit later after that meeting with the NASFAF, employees, is that they'll not be losing their jobs. Now, what you can read between the lines is people might be unhappy that their salaries are potentially going to be restructured, since they're now going to become a regular government employee. That is the only evidence that exists in the economy, the public sector economy. Now, when you read into what Shafuda said on 26 February, and obviously what Robin Sherborne highlighted specifically in his budget analysis of last Friday, which is obviously contained in the article that we've got in today's e-paper platform, the question you've got to ask yourself, now, since Shafuda said the state-owned entities might have to fend for themselves, does this translate to a similar situation, not a situation of absorption into ministries, you know, bloating the ministries even further with, you know, staff contingents and amount of employees in the public sector, even though the SOEs should consider themselves public servants in a way, because much they are technically state-owned entities, so the owner of the company is the government. The government invested resources into the company, so that technically makes them some sort of an aspect of a public servant. When you look at that, I mean, those dimensions around ownership, around who invested what resources into this enterprise, The question you're going to ask yourself with this new announcement, this possible strategy announcement, is will these guys then have to cut fat where they have had or developed fat in their organizational structure? Will they trim where they need to trim? Will they think a little bit more strategic than every time just going and saying, mother, father, could you kindly, mom, dad, could you kindly, you know, help me out with an extra 100 million, please? I need to pay off some invoices that I've not been paying for like 4 years. And it's to avoid being taken to a court case in Belgium. You know, could we do that? And you guys know who I'm talking about. The defunct Air Namibia situation that happened, which also highlighted primarily that this was a debt that was hidden. That debt with Air Namibia. Remember guys, that was a debt, that was an old debt. A debt that suddenly popped up in 2020 during COVID. And during COVID, we now had to hear about, Namibia can't make this payment. You know what? The best strategy is rather just closing down the company. In any direction, guys, in any direction, did that strategy make sense to you? Did that strategy make sense to you? This was a debt that was ignored. This was a debt that was deliberately, by the leadership that was running that enterprise, it was deliberately ignored. It was an old debt. It was more than 10 years. It was more than 10 years, that debt. It was a debt around rent. It's a rental debt. Now, you and I know if you rent from your landlord wants to, and you can't pay for 1 month of renting, your landlord wants to evict you ASAP. Because you're literally breaking or you are in breach of contract. Your landlord wants to evict you ASAP. They don't care. They don't want to hear anything. Just wants to evict you. In many scenarios, back in 2020 and 2021, because at that stage, you know, I just newly joined Eagle FM, you guys remember. And we obviously, much of the themes back then was just the COVID, the impact of COVID on society, on the economy, on Namibians. And the first major victim of Namibia's COVID-impacted economy was Air Namibia. Air Namibia was such an impacted entity. Air Namibia is literally the sacrificial lamb of the COVID economy, of what happened during 2020 to 2021. Air Namibia is that particular discussion. Because in that discussion, Air Namibia had to try and fend for itself. It had to try and fend for itself because Air Namibia before COVID was used to? What were they used to? You guys remember the themes? They were used to bailout money. They were used to bailout money. South African Airways was on the same level of scrutiny at the same time of what was happening to Air Namibia in Namibia. South African Airways was on the same level of scrutiny by the South African government as well. And that was primarily based upon the legacy of Jacob Zuma. And then they started looking at what did this legacy have on the business operations of SAA. And then they started looking into that CEO that Zuma had placed there as a, what was the lady, Tochman? The lady was like a interim CEO. But she was one of the people that was literally a, in some ways, you know, when political journalists write, they write about a political ally in that regard. And then they highlight, you know, the various particular people associated to a potential political leader or a political leader. And this woman was one of the, it was her, the guy that was at SABC, the guy that had grade 10. He didn't even reach grade 12. What was that guy's name, Tochman? The guy that was a DJ. A DJ from Bloemfontein. He became the CEO of SABC. Then there was the guy, the engineer that lied on his CV to become the Transnet engineer. If you don't know who Transnet is like, it's like a combination between Namport and, what other engineering state-owned company do we have? It's a combination of Namport and Transnamap. It's Transnet. And this guy lied on his CV. He had the engineering qualifications. He was not an engineer. Wonderful things come out of our southern, our big brother in the south. Wonderful things. You will laugh at the level of what's happening in South Africa. You will just laugh and you will wish and hope we don't do similar things in Namibia, that similar things don't exist. However, I'm digressing. The talking point of our discussion has been, we've seen what has happened with Air Namibia. We've seen what has happened with Air Namibia in 2020. And Air Namibia's demise was something as basic as a rental agreement. A leasing agreement that was purposefully ignored, because when that thing popped up, it popped up in 2019 and it cascaded into 2020, which led to the closure of the entity, the retrenchment of all the 600 Namibians that worked there and its foreign employees. And it literally caused a major economic rift. 600 people is a lot of people. 600 people. Is a lot of people. There's a documentary from Deutsche Welle on YouTube where there's an MSME, a micro business. He's got 50,000 employees in Germany. This business owner, a micro enterprise has no, a small enterprise, an SME. Sorry, not MSME, SME, and a small enterprise in Germany. That was one of the people interviewed in that documentary. Has 50,000 employees. Then they interviewed a guy that has a medium enterprise in Germany. He has 125,000 employees. But it's a medium enterprise. In Namibia, us, for our, the scale and the amount of people that work at Eagle FM, we would technically constitute as a small enterprise. Because the amount of people we have. The amount of people that we have here at Eagle FM. We're technically a small enterprise. Technically, in terms of just size, just numbers. Not even revenue. Because revenue can distort one thing. And the amount of people that work for the enterprise says one thing. Now, in some cases, you will find, for example, from business administration to accounting principles to whatever discussion, that an SME is defined this way because of this earnings that it makes. Or an SME is defined, or an MSME is defined because it has this particular, it operates in this sector. Or an SME is defined because it does this particular work. Let me get in the next caller. Eagle FM, good morning.
Dwight, I'm back.
Yes, Uncle Bona.
Now, those people that you are talking about, the SME in Germany, who have managed to employ about those number of people, they became entrepreneurs, ne?
No, Uncle Bona, they were an entrepreneur, now they're a business owner.
Yes.
Yeah.
So because the business owners now combining the factors of production.
Yeah.
And then absorb, then that's a huge number of people.
Yeah, 50,000. Angabona, 50,000 for a small enterprise in Germany.
Imagine, for the medium one?
125,000.
What is wrong with us now? Can't we do that? More especially the people who are more knowledgeable, empowered with knowledge from the institution of higher learning.
It's based upon the labeling, Ankabona, because the explanation that those two guys gave in that documentary was what the German government classifies them as. Not the banks, because we have an explanation from the banks, an explanation from lawyers, and an explanation from the government that'll give you three different descriptions sometimes of what an MSME is.
No problem. It doesn't matter the definition of explanation. As long as they were able to absorb and employ those people.
Mm.
Why is it that we cannot do it?
Ankabona, there is a problem. Ankabona, there is a problem. The problem is, what taxes are you liable for? Or what penalties, or, you know, those various taxes, tariffs, and stuff are you liable for? Meaning, the industry you work in.
Well, doesn't matter. It's okay. As long as they are able to employ people.
Exactly,
so
Ankabona.
They are able to get the assistance from the government, or from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Why is it that our own things, we cannot emulate those examples, for example. So we should also do the same.
Yeah, we should. We should.
What is preventing us now? Is the government's problem? Is the individual's problem? Or is the stakeholder's problem? Or is the bank's problem? What is it? Is the law or the rules? What is it that we cannot do that?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dwight.
Not a problem, Ankabona. Thanks for coming through.
Cool.
And yes, that is also a good philosophic question in terms of what's going on. I can give a handful of descriptions, and in some cases, other realities pop up as well. Because each one onto their own, primarily based upon how you run your enterprise. It's a weird thing. Why do I say it's a weird thing that is going to happen in the Namibian economy from next month going ahead? The weird thing is, the first murmurings, rumblings, unsatisfactory, dissatisfaction components that we have already seen were the Nasfaf people. They are unhappy. Anyone who knows anyone that works at Nasfaf knows that some of those people apparently had to go to, to psychiatric or psychological, had to go see a psychologist. And based upon the Professor Jiang that I've been watching recently on Facebook, because he's been doing a presentation on secret societies, that particular presentation, because he's a professor of game theory, like I explained to you, and it seems that game theory also falls into the realm of philosophy, falls into the realm of human history and natural history and all those other particular things, and even looks into theology and all those other discussions. And Jiang highlighted that the people he's met, because he was on a specific topic of mind control, how mind control happens, which is a very rich subject in its own right, not something meant for the weak at heart and mind. But he was going to that discussion in terms of how mind control has been a thing throughout human history since the pharaohs, and it was based upon how do you control societies all the way up until modern day world, 21st century. So Jiang highlighted that people who have gone to psychologists and psychiatrists, because the Americans also use the extra term psychiatrists, but psychologists and psychiatrists are also two different professionals. He cited his own way. The people that he knows that have gone to psychologists have actually come away with more issues than when they approached the psychologist. And psychologists, according to another psychology industry observation paper, or it was an article written about, are psychologists also people that suffer from, their own particular mental illnesses and mental problems and issues? Psychologists have been deemed to have more mental issues than the people that they are trying to serve, that the people that they have as customers. And according to the Ministry of Health's own particular analysis of how many registered psychologists we've got in the country, which are only 29, which shows probably it's not, you know, it's a particular pathway. I'm not trying to throw my own sister-in-law, who is a psychologist herself, under the bus, but, you know, just to highlight that there's a little bit that there are some gray areas that you can see from there. Now, some of the NASFAF people have highlighted that, because I was sort of also slightly blocked, but I spoke to someone that was sitting in the presentation as well, regarding when the minister was there last week. And some of the employees have highlighted that they've had to go and seek, you know, psychological assistance, psychological help. And they've had to go and see psychologists because of the potential loss of earnings, of loss of their salary push being readjusted. In the broader economy, specifically from the private sector, it literally is the representation of the sword of Damocles. The sword of Damocles, remember, is a sword that cuts both ways. It can cut Damocles, but it can also save Damocles. The dimension from this is, do these state-owned entities and their contingent of salaried Namibians, how do they react to this particular declaration by the Minister of Finance? Firstly, do they actually go and assess their wage bills, their salary bills? Do they go and assess their spending? Do they actually meet targets? If they say we're going to buy, for example, let's say you're a Transnet, you're going to buy a new locomotive. Are they going to scrutinize the price tag for the locomotive? Or are they going to actually just spend money which they don't have, and the locomotive is overpriced, and the locomotive has to be readjusted? I'm giving a hypothetical story, but even though the story probably does exist somewhere in prior knowledge bases, prior to this discussion on the discussion, are they going to spend money for what they are quoted for and ensure that the thing comes here and is just ready to be used? Not that they have to spend more money to modify or refurbish or to do whatever to what they just spent money on. You know, actual financial management, actual financial governance strategies. Because in many cases, we are talking about governance, and much of the governance issues in Namibia is centered around our SOEs. We've seen it from NAMCOR. We've seen it from the discussions at Air Namibia. We've seen it in many cases with other SOEs across the country. The governance issues in Namibia are mostly associated to local authorities and the SOEs. I'll say it again. Local authorities and SOEs. The Ombudsman's report on the recruitment process of NAMRA highlighted that there is a basic understanding around the mandate of appointment and how to go about appointing Namibians to do work for NAMRA. They showed it. The NAMRA, the Ombudsman's report. They showed it directly. There's a basic governance issue in understanding what I need to do, how I'm going to do it, and I need to ensure every day that I'm working in conjunction with what is said on paper. I'll say it again. The Ombudsman's report on the recruitment process at NAMRA from 2023 to 2024 highlights this particular scenario. There's a governance issue in our SOEs. I had this interview last year as well with the professor, with Professor Johan Kutsia, specifically when the arrests at NAMCOR happened. Do we have a governance issue in Namibia? Yes, we do. We are seeing it around every corner. And many of the governance issues are associated to SOEs. they are associated to SOEs. I'm sorry, guys. These are the realities. These are facts. Now, here is what the governance strategy that the minister announced, not entirely, because she only gave us, you know, this, it was an extraction that was done of her speech. That statement she made in Parliament on 26 February now dictates how do these CEOs and their management respond in now becoming financially sound. That they now start working for the country. That they now start producing what they were set up to do, to work for the country. Yes, we have dealt with the fact that the SOEs are in the economy. They are working in the economy, and they are potentially in many scenarios competing with private businesses in the economy. Because the neoliberal school of economics, I call it the neoliberal school because that's a terminology that senior economists like Richard Keane and no, like Richard Murphy and Keane. Yeah. Both highlight specifically that the neoliberals are talking about government must be out of the economy. That the economy must be left up to the free market principles up there. But that is problematic because you can have monopolies arising. One is Microsoft. Another is Meta. You can have monopolies popping up. The Americans don't want to do anything about their monopolies. But the opposite picture also doesn't speak about the health, about how healthy our economy is, because the opposite just designates that there's a whole bunch of state-owned entities and in most sectors across the Namibian economy. Which is another, it's a bonus, it's a plus, it's a positive, but it also has a negative to it. They pay the best salaries. Unfortunately, the private companies, in many cases, yes, I've had conversation with people. In many cases, you hear how many Namibians have to go and work outside of Namibia to earn a salary that is on par with someone in a state-owned company in Namibia. And then the person working outside of Namibia is doing more work for that salary versus the amount of work that the Namibian that's at the SOE is doing. Now I ask you. One of the callers, Angabona, asked, you know, what's wrong with our business people or the youngsters in trying to achieve certain things? I've come to the realization everyone has a story to tell. But you will find a common denominator there. The common denominator is disposable income and a market. I'll say it again. Disposable income and a market. On that note, dear listeners, it does bring us up to the end for this morning's discussion here on the Unpacking the Day. It is 10 a.m. on the dot. Stay tuned for Franz and his particular presentation he's going to make with specifically with Kutamosha. Apologies if I didn't say the name properly. It's not a word I use every day. But you'll catch me later on the home run today. Here on your number one talk radio station. And this has been the Unpacking the Day. Stay tuned for the rest of the programming during the course of this morning.